Birok Chateau has stood on its hill between the Krivoklatske and Brdy forests since the 12th century, a beautiful thing wistfully recalled in the famous melody by Václav Vačkáš, A Memory of Zbirok. Until recently, memories of Zbirok were just about all anyone had, because the chateau and its many treasures and mysteries were strictly sealed off for most of the 20th century. The memory of its illustrious history is only resurfacing today. There is certainly plenty of room for mystery in this place. Zbirok Chateau is absolutely massive, as its owner Jaroslav Pacha described.
This is the largest privately owned chateau in the Czech Republic and one of the largest chateaus in the country. I've never counted it up in square meters, but I can say that we have some 228 rooms. It takes 4.5 hours to open all the windows and 4.5 hours to close them. So just airing out the rooms is an entire day's work for one person.
And size is by no means the only superlative thing about it. With the oldest freestanding tower in Bohemia and the deepest well in Europe, Zbirok Chateau, the oldest aristocratic castle in the Czech Republic, sets several records for its grandeur and, of course, age, which stretches back to the year 1193. Since that time, it has been owned by numerous people with lofty titles, but none loftier than emperor. Marketa Lorenzova, who works on exhibitions at Zbirok, told me why it bills itself as the castle of three emperors.
One of the emperors was Charles IV, was the most important king for all of Czechs. After that, our castle owned the dynasty of Rosenbergs. They were there for 100 years. After that, in 15th century, the castle was bought by Sigmund of Luxembourg, who was the son of Charles IV and was the second emperor of our castle. And the third one was Rudolf II, who owned our castle in 16th century.
After Rudolf came the first of the chateau's claims to infamy, just after the history-changing Czech defeat at White Mountain in 1620. A Bohemian Protestant rebellion was crushed by the Austrians, and after the battle, the Czech Protestant lords were rounded up, and many were imprisoned in the dank dungeons at Zbirok.
This prison was found by a worker who fell to the hole and found the prison when they had to make pipes for the castle. So now after that, we found there something like bed from straws. Here you can see metal for hands, shekel. And after that, on the rock, there is shell for legs.
And these originals?
Yes.
So these shackles have been hanging here ever since the last person had an arm in one.
Well, yes. Just nobody died in our prison. Our prison was to push prisoners to write letters to give up all of their property and to give up their faith. Just one person died there, and it was because he got cold, and so he died by illness, not by some punishment.
The castle stayed in Habsburg hands for over 200 years until it was purchased by the Jewish-German railroad industrialist Bethel Henry Strausberg. Strausberg started a glorious restoration of parts of the castle while destroying others, filling up the underground tunnels and prisons with construction debris to avoid having to pay for its removal. Many reminders of Baron Strausberg remain, including this one that Miss Lorenzova showed me.
So we have there a cane of Henry Strausberg, and if we open it, there is a weapon. He always had this cane on his meetings because he didn't trust the Czechs.
And did he ever use it?
No, we don't think so.
The next famous resident, indeed the most famous resident, of Zbirok Chateau was the master painter Alfons Mucha. Mr. Pacha told me how he ended up in Zbirok.
It was just a coincidence. Mucha came here to visit with a friend and found out that there was a hall upstairs with a skylight and that it suited him for painting large canvases. His family became very close friends with the Colorado Mansfeld family, which owned the chateau at the time. So he kind of headquartered himself here and stayed here for 19 years. His son Jiří Mucha was born here and spent his entire childhood here.
The large canvases included Mucha's lifelong dream and arguably greatest work, the Slav Epics, a cycle of 20 enormous paintings honoring Slavic history. He also created almost all of his oil paintings here, and one could speculate that it wasn't just good light alone that drew him to the place. There might have been other things that the founder of Czech Freemasonry and Grand Master of the Paris Lodge appreciated in his surroundings.
We have found Templar symbols here, and it's certain that the mysterious history of Freemasonry here goes back a long way. There is a Masonic hall here in the castle that is a tribute to Alphonse Mucha. The Grand Masters and the rest of his lodge used to meet here, so in honor of that, the hall is decorated with Masonic motifs, as it once was.
A decade after the flowery epoch of Mucha at Zbiroch, a whole new era emerged for the castle, an era of secrecy that began with World War II and ended only a few years ago. In that time, hardly anyone who was not a top-clearance soldier saw or heard anything from within the walls of the hilltop fortifications until Mr. Pacha purchased the building in 2004 and discovered what all the secrecy was about.
During the Second World War, the Wehrmacht had an automobile repair station here, and once, purely by chance, some radio surveillance equipment was brought in to be fixed. Once it was working, they found that instead of its original 30-kilometer range, they could listen to all of Europe from here. The hill is made of chert rock and semi-precious jasper, the silica in which amplifies sound. So the Wehrmacht was immediately moved out, and the SS High Command was moved in towards the end of the war.
The Nazis made Zbiroch their ear of the world, and it maintained that function for the Warsaw Pact armies in Czechoslovakia. Modern-day legend tells that when President Václav Havel was on his first trip to America, he was asked, "What do you plan to do with the radar at Zbiroch?" And he had no idea what they were talking about. "The one watching our stealth fighters," they said, and thus the Americans let the Czech president in on the clandestine affairs of his own country, and Zbiroch started to be stripped of its secrets, large and small, and the water well was one of them.
That well was a mystery right from the end of the Second World War, because it was filled to the top with rubble, and for some reason no one tried to dig it out. So we wanted to make the well a well instead of a junk heap, and after digging for about 40 meters, we found 8 cases of SS documents that were carted off by the Ministry of the Interior the very next day, and under them were various weapons and other historical objects.
The digging revealed what may be the deepest well in Europe at 163 meters, hard to call definitively since the true bottom has not exactly been found. But reports circulated of a false floor leading God knows where. Rumor has it that a duck thrown down the well was found in a pond 2 kilometers away, while others allege they've traversed corridors beneath the castle and come out at the village square. Others still speculate the treasures of the lost Amber Room, the 8th wonder of the world that the Nazis stole from Russia, lays there in the well waiting to be rediscovered. But whatever is down there, there's a snag.
There is no false bottom. There is some sort of passageway into the side of the well that was plastered over with china clay and is hermetically sealed so that water can't get in. And when we did a radar survey, it showed a regular network of metallic objects a few meters in. No one knows what it is, but it could well be a defensive array of explosives, so no one dares look deeper.
The present owner, Gastro Joffin, is less interested in treasure-seeking at the risk of blowing the castle to smithereens, and more interested in taking advantage of Zbiroch's many other wonders. It now hosts a grandiose hotel, complete with peacocks sitting on the window ledges and a tavern, and a huge expanse of gardens and forest and more, with almost all the castle's secrets open to the public.